Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
And we're really excited about this series on the Holy Spirit. Maybe you came in today like hoping, expecting for a message on Ruth or Mary or Martha or maybe Queen Esther, but I don't just have a cookie cutter message for you. Instead, I thought, you know what? Let's start our Holy Spirit series today because I knew you'd be in the building. You'd be here. Maybe mom had to bribe you a little bit, but you're here. And so glad that you are. And really, here's what I know about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one of those topics, the person of the Holy Spirit, that really there's a lot of mishandlings of it. In fact, we kind of got two groups here today. One group, when you hear that we're talking about the Holy Spirit, you're like, yes, this is going to be the best Mother's Day message ever. I can't wait for you to get started, Pastor. But then there's another group, and maybe you're in this one, that gets a little bit nervous anytime you talk about the Holy Spirit. Like maybe even just like kind of coyly, you've been looking around, looking for the exits, you know? Like, hey, when he prays in a moment, we're going to pretend like we're going to the bathroom, but then we're taking a hard left out those front doors. And if that's you and you're nervous, I just want to encourage you, hang with me for a second. Because how many of y'all know the Holy Spirit isn't weird? People are weird. And if you're not laughing, maybe you're that weird person. I don't know, because you just need to know there's a weird people in the world. Go to Walmart any day of the week and you'll find some weird people. And really, like, COVID-19 hasn't helped with the weirdness, right? Like people do strange things, and especially this last year. And think about, like, masks for a second. I'm not anti-mask. My wife and I are family. We wear masks. I'll put one on right after the message here. So not against mask wearing. But have you noticed that people have even taken something like wearing a mask and made it weird? Like, have you seen those people that are wearing like 14 different masks at one time? Have you seen those people? Like mask upon mask upon mask. I can barely breathe with one mask, you know? And like people are just weird. Have you seen this? The people that get that mask, and if you got one of these, I'm sorry, it's weird to me, but like, have you seen the people that they got the mask with someone else's face on the mask? You know, you got a guy, he's clean shaven, but he's wearing a mask with like a full beard, and then he takes it off and you're just like caught off guard for a moment. Or you got people wearing masks that look like celebrities. I saw this, you can Google it later. I saw people putting masks on their pets this last year. Like I don't need to see a bird with like a mask, okay? Or like your snake, like just some weird stuff. And so people are weird, the Holy Spirit isn't weird. Here's what's happened if you're in that group that's nervous right now. What's happened is weird people did weird stuff and they blamed it on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was like, that wasn't me. That was just you. You're taking crazy pills, okay? Like the Holy Spirit's like, I'm not about that. It was a weird person doing something really weird. And so what we're going to do today, and really this is the intro for this series, is we're going to look to God's word and we're going to see like what does God have to say about himself, right? Like what does he have to say? Not what a man or a religion or a ministry, not your bad experience and your church background. No. What does God have to say in his word about who the person of the Holy Spirit is? And you're going to find out every single time that the Holy Spirit's not weird. He's actually here to help you. Can I get an amen on Mother's Day? So if you got a copy of God's word, turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And really, we're going to look at what Jesus has to say about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16. I'm going to start in verse 7, and we're going to go all the way to the beginning of verse 13. And if you don't have a copy of God's word and you're in the room, you'll see the verses on the screen today. But John chapter 16. And while you're at it, why not grab something to take notes? And we even have digital notes on the YouVersion Bible app. But John 16, starting at verse 7, and I'm going to read out the New King James Version. Everybody's got their favorite translation, right? Well, this is my personal favorite translation. So anytime I get to speak from it, I get excited. John 16, verse 7 says this. This is Jesus talking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you will see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, Jesus says to his disciples, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you so much and so grateful. What a special day this is as we celebrate moms. And we know this, more important than anything, any of us, God, we celebrate you. And we're so glad to gather together in person and online to lift up the name of Jesus. And God, I just pray before we get in deep into the text and as we walk through what Jesus had to say, I pray, God, for those in the room, those online that are hurting this Mother's Day. And there's been a lot of excitement and laughter and smiling. And we know, God, that that's only a group of us that are excited today. There's others that I know that today is not the easiest of holidays. And God, I know for some, this is the first Mother's Day without their mother or without their grandmother who recently passed. We know for others, they're battling infertility, just so desperately wanting to be a mom, and so far just having heartache and pain. And so God, not only do we celebrate with our moms and our families, but we also mourn with our moms and the women represented in this house. We hurt with those that are hurting. And we ask in both cases that God, you would come close and you'd pour out your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you, God, that you celebrate with us, but you also help us when we're hurting. In fact, your word says this, you are close to the brokenhearted. So those that have that broken heart today, you are close to them, closer than the very breath that they're breathing. God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your holy word. God, as we look to you, we pray that you would teach us exactly what you want to teach us. And we ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, before we dig into John 16, we're going to get there at the end, okay? And really, I've got three takeaway truths for you before we get you out to fight those crowds for lunch, okay? And so we'll make sure we get you out on time here. Before we get back to John 16, if you open up your word to it, can you kind of put a thumb in it? Because we're going to really take a 30,000-foot view when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Because again, we got people on both sides. We got people from different traditional church backgrounds and people from no church background. And so really, I want to make sure we all are on the same page, that we all understand who the person of the Holy Spirit is. And so you may not know this, but when it comes to the Bible, so Old Testament and New Testament, it talks about the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost around 800 times. Like, so it's not just New Testament. It's not just one book in the New Testament. 800 times we see the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost talked about in the Holy Word of God. But not just that, the Holy Spirit even shows up in the second verse of your Bible. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, you'll see it on the screen behind me. Here's what it says. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we see here clearly, right? Second verse in your Bible, that the Holy Spirit was active in creation. How cool is that? Actively involved in the creation of the world. And that word spirit there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and anytime you see that word spirit in the Old Testament, in the original language, it's the Hebrew word for ruach. Ruach. That's the word when you see spirit or ghost in the Old Testament. Now, it's one of those Hebrew words that you got to like say with like almost like you got a piece of popcorn stuck in the back of your throat. You know, it's like ruach. In fact, would y'all help me out? On the count of three, I want you to say that with me. Ruach. All right. 1, 2, 3. Ruach. That was good. Now wipe off the spit and the person in front of you. Okay. But ruach. Right. You got to say it like that. Here's what that word means. It's really interesting. It means this: wind, breath, a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. That's what that word means, spirit, in the Old Testament. And then when you move to the New Testament, the word used is a different language, not Hebrew anymore. Most of the New Testament, almost all, is written in Greek. There's a little bit of Aramaic like sprinkled within. But the Greek word for spirit or ghost is the word pneuma. If you're taking notes, write that down. The P is silent, but anytime you see spirit or ghost, it's the word pneuma, and here's the definition of that Greek word. It's this: a current of air, a gentle breeze, a blast of breath. A current of air, a gentle breeze, or a blast of breath. And so I came here to encourage somebody on Mother's Day that the Holy Spirit in your life, you saw both definitions, the Hebrew and the Greek, the Holy Spirit wants to be a breath of fresh air for you. Does anybody else want a breath of fresh air in your life? Like you go to the beach and you're sitting there on the shore and you've got the sand, you've got the waves, and you've got that wind, right? That gentle, cooling, calming breeze to wash over you. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. Don't you want some of that in your life? A blast of breath, a breath of fresh air. And so both these definitions speak of this, of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. And as Jesus said in John 16, what we just read, the Holy Spirit wants to help you in every area of your life. Your marriage, your family, your parenting, your grandparenting, your business, your career, your school. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. But here's the tragedy, and here's why almost every single year that I've been here, we do at least one series dedicated to the person of the Holy Spirit. Here's the tragedy. Far too many Christians, far too many people live a spirit-less life when God wants them to live a spirit-filled life. Like the help is available for you. Available for you, available for me. But so many of us, we live beneath that. We live a spirit-less life trying to live for God in our own strength. Trying to live for God without the wind of the Holy Spirit at our back, filling up the sails in our life and helping us move forward. And that's a problem. And you wonder why you're struggling. You wonder why it's not working for you. It's because you're trying to do it on your own. And really, I see two big reasons why so many people are living a spirit-less life instead of a spirit-filled life. And you're taking notes. Would you jot this down? Just doing a little teaching here, this introductory message to the series. I hope you'll join us next week. But really, there's two big problems. Here's the first one. Some people aren't just aware of the Holy Spirit. Like maybe you grew up in a traditional church background and the topic wasn't even spoken about. Like not even, it's the God you never knew, right? Just you didn't even hear about it. It maybe wasn't preached against, but it just wasn't covered at all. And so some just aren't aware. And maybe that's hitting you hard in your heart right now because you're like, man, that's me. Just have no clue. Never really been taught anything about the Holy Spirit. I'm just not aware. And if that's you, can I tell you, you're in good company. You see, in the book of Acts, that's where the New Testament church gets started. It actually starts at the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's poured out. They walk in power, this incredible multiplication, God doing miracles in their midst. But then you get into Acts chapter 19, where many scholars think is actually decades into the New Testament church. And here's the scene we step into, and some of you will relate to this. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 2, here's what it says. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, so take note of that. These are Christians. He finds some followers of Jesus, disciples, and he asked them a question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. They look at Paul and they're like, again, disciples, that's what the word says. They look at Paul and they're like, holy who? What are you talking about? Who are you talking about? They are confused. They weren't even aware that there was a Holy Spirit. And maybe that's you. And you're like, man, I didn't even know. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm going to learn something that's going to really help me. That's the first reason, in my opinion. Here's the second reason, and there's biblical support for this. Second reason why people are living spirit-less lives instead of spirit-led lives. Here it is. Some are resisting the Holy Spirit. And you probably don't want to admit to that one, but I bet it's a handful of people at least in the room and online. So some aren't aware, that's your excuse. Now others, you're resisting it. You're resisting it because maybe it makes you nervous. You're resisting it because of that pastor back in the day at the church you grew up in did some really weird things and said some really weird things. You're like, oh, I don't want any more of that. Maybe for some of you, just the word ghost like freaks you out, right? You're like, holy ghost, I want ghosts away from me, right? Like you're resisting. And then there's others that like you kind of know, but you're not sure. And then for others, you know you shouldn't resist, but there you resist anyways. And if you're in that boat, can I warn you as the Bible warns you? You see, in the same book, Acts, New Testament church, I believe it's chapter 7. Yes, Acts chapter 7, verse 51. I want to read to you one verse, and this shows up, resisting of the Holy Spirit. You see, there's an early disciple named Stephen, mighty man of God, and he is confronting religious leaders. So you could say religious pastors of the day, people that were acting like they were so holy on the outside, but they were just religious. People that acting like they're better than everybody else, but really they were corrupt on the inside. Stephen addresses them, and here's what he says. And just so you know, he lays into them, okay? I'm going to read you one verse, but here's what he says. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. He's talking to religious pastors, okay? You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. Like, that may not relate to our context, but I'm telling y'all, he is giving it to them, okay? He is laying into them. Like he's just going at them. Uncircumcised hearts and ears. You are just like your fathers. Check this out. You always resist the Holy Spirit. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Here's what happens when you resist the Holy Spirit, when you know better. What happens is eventually your heart, it gets hardened before God. And not only that, because you're religious. How many of y'all know it's about a relationship with Jesus, okay? Not about Christ Covenant Church or Ryan, like that's me, not about any of that. It's about Jesus. But what happens when you're religious, trying to look good on the outside, but it's nasty on the inside. When you're religious, you resist the Holy Spirit and you get a hardened heart before God. And here's what happens. You never think you would do this, but it happens is eventually you come against God and his people. Can I give you more context with Acts chapter 7, verse 51? Stephen, right after this, he is killed by those church leaders. I've had some people say some mean things about me, but they've never tried to kill me, thankfully, okay? They stone him to death. Stephen becomes the first martyr in history for Jesus in this moment. He comes against them because they're lying. They're nasty on the inside, acting like they got it all together. They're resisting the Holy Spirit working in and through their lives. And therefore, they get a hardened heart before God. And the pastors, can you imagine this? They're actually going against God and his people, and they don't even know it. Maybe that's happening in your life. Those are two big reasons, in my opinion, of why we don't live Spirit-led lives. Instead, we live Spirit-less lives. And so here's my challenge to us. I know it's Mother's Day, and this isn't the message you expected. I get it. But here's my challenge to you, not just today, but I hope you'll come back for the rest of this series. Even if you're just interested, hey, I just want to hear. I just want to know. I'm not going all in just yet. I just want to hear, and you're welcome back here. But here's my challenge to every single one of you. Whether you're excited that we're talking about this again or whether you're nervous, in both groups, here's my challenge. That during this message and during this series, you would give God a blank page. That you would not resist what God wants to show you. That it wouldn't be about me or my philosophy. The word of God, that what God says about himself, that you would be all in. I said it this way before. That if it's on the menu, you would order it. You would say, God, if you have this for me, I'm all about it. Yeah, I'm from this tradition or this background, or I don't even know what to think. But God, if you're about it, I want to be about it. And if you would give God a blank page today and during this series, can you give me an amen? Like, I'll give God a blank page. Okay, you're hanging with me. A blank page. So back to John 16, three things for you real quick before we get you out to the rest of your day. Again, honored that you're here. But Jesus tells us several things in just a few verses about the Holy Spirit. Again, just an intro here, and then we'll get into more of the meat here the next few weeks. But Jesus gives us some takeaway truths about the Holy Spirit and how he's here to help us. Here's the first one. If you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will comfort. I don't know about y'all, but I need some comfort this year. Maybe you're like me, and this year has not gone according to plan. Maybe the last couple years have not gone according to plan. Maybe you thought your marriage will look different, your parenting will look different, your business will look different, your relationship with your kids or grandkids will look different. Maybe you thought your finances would look different, and the stimulus has helped a little bit, but there's still more bills coming. How many of y'all know they come every single month, right? Maybe you need some comfort like I do. And this is John 16, verse 7. Now, I read out the New King James Version a moment ago when we first read, and the word it uses in that verse is the word helper. Holy Spirit's our helper. But in the Greek, the original language, it's actually the word parakletos. Parakletos. And one of the meanings, it has a lot of depth, this word, but one of the meanings is comfort. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do to you. Ladies, you know, you've got that blanket at home that you love. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it is extra fluffy. It's incredible. It's almost like it's an extension of your body, right? Like, it's always on you at home watching your favorite Netflix show. And guys, I'm going to pick on you for a second. You got your favorite blanket too. It just got the pictures like from your alma mater right on it or something real manly so you don't look so weak when you got it on you. But I know, guys, you don't take a picture of it, but you got a blanket at your house too. Let's be real. We won't call you out too much more than that. I won't have the ladies answer for you, but we just know, okay? You got that one comforter, that one blanket that makes you feel like, man, I feel comfortable here. I feel at home here. I feel peace here. The Holy Spirit wants to do that for you 24/7, 365. That even in the middle of the worst year of your life, even in the middle of the struggle, the Holy Spirit is your helper, your paraclete, wants to comfort you, wants to wrap his loving arms around you. That's not weird, is it? No, somebody wants to comfort me? That's not, yes, come on, help me out, comfort me. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. Jesus is like, I can't hang here much longer. I'm about to go to the cross. I'm about to raise from the dead 3 days later, and then eventually I'll be at the right hand of the Father, but it's actually good I'm going, Jesus says, because when I go, I'm limited in one person and flesh here on earth, but when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. He will comfort you, and he is not limited to one space. He's here in this room. He's in every church in the world. He's in every place in the universe. He's omnipresent everywhere at one time. I know that makes your brain hurt, but it's true. Everywhere at one time, and he is here to comfort you. Can I just be honest? I'm a pastor. I get it that sometimes I'm held to a higher standard, all that kind of stuff. God will definitely hold me to a higher standard. I get all of that, but still, like I've got struggles, and I've got issues and things that we're working through, and I got to tell you, there's so many times when the Holy Spirit, when I need it the most, just comes in and comforts me. And I'm hurting, don't know what to do. Somebody betrays me, somebody coming against me in my faith. Like, I'm telling you, I need this. You need this. Why would we resist? You can't leave this service saying you're not aware anymore, right? But why would we resist the comfort that the Holy Spirit wants to give you? That's good news. That's really, really good news. Here's the second thing Jesus says. Number two, the Holy Spirit will counsel. Will counsel. Jesus says this in verse 13. And maybe that word doesn't resonate all the way, and that's okay. Here's a word that will. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. Don't we need that in our lives? We talk to the business leaders in the house. We got so many business leaders. You know those moments where you've got two decisions and you don't know what to do, and it's a big decision, and really the history of your company, you're going to be able to trace it back to that moment. Can I tell you, friend, the Holy Spirit is here to counsel you. You just got to ask him. When I'm counseling people, I'll let you into my pastor world for a second. You can relate it to your world. When I'm counseling people, like I'm listening and I'm nodding, but on the inside, like I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Or like some of you are like, I'm not going to you anymore. That's okay. Just be real with you. It's just the truth. Like I'm praying hard on the inside. Like, God, their life is messed up. I don't know what to say. Like, I just don't. And so I ask the Holy Spirit to help me, and he does every single time. Every single time. Like, I've got my bachelor's degree, but I don't have my doctorate. I didn't go to seminary. We've already had somebody leave the church before because I didn't go to seminary. I'm just telling you, like, it's not about me, okay? But the Holy Spirit will counsel and lead and guide. I shared this first service. I'll share it now, and then we'll keep moving here. But, so this auditorium, you can't see the auditorium here in the room. You're just seeing me, but you just stay locked in there. But for those in the auditorium, like, we got the lights on right now, air conditioning, it feels good. But how many of y'all know during the week the lights aren't on, right? Like we want to be good stewards, and so we don't AC, so it gets hot in here, and of course the high ceilings, and so heat rises, but it's still hot in here. And so during the week it'll be really dark, and I've been in this auditorium, you know, 1,000 times, like just being here 3 years, and so I think I know where everything is, right? But I can't tell you how many times that I'm trying to walk from those back doors to something over here in the green room where we pray together before the service, or trying to get something in this closet storage over here, and I think I know where everything is, and I hit my leg on one of those chairs, and if in a fall down, it is not good, okay? I remember one time, not here, but in Dallas where I'm from, I remember one time I thought I knew it really well, and I was walking so fast. Y'all know why I talk fast? Ask my wife. I walk fast too, okay? One speed is all I know. And I'm walking fast in the auditorium there in Dallas, and I hit the row of chairs, and literally I flip over them. Can I tell you, that's what some of you are doing when it comes to your life with Christ. You think you know what to do. Oh, I've been doing this for a long time, Pastor. Been a Christian for decades. Look at my pin that says how long I've been a member at so-and-so church, you know. I know how to do this. What's God's word say in Proverbs? Pride comes before the fall. And you're trying to do this Christian life on your own, led by your flesh instead of by the Spirit, the way God designed it. And you end up getting hurt. Maybe you end up even hurting others as you're trying to do it on your own strength. But here's the question, why? Why, if you have a helper? Why, if you got someone who's been there, done that, knows exactly what you need to do, why would you not let him guide you? It's not like you're going on vacation somewhere and you just pull a random person off the street. Hey, show me what's really cool here and what our family should do. And they're like, hey, this is my first time too. And you're like, I don't care. Lead us anyways. No. Don't do that. But the Holy Spirit, he's been there. He understands. Like, he knows exactly what you need to do in every single moment. No question about it. He wants to counsel you. How many parents we got in the room? Would you raise your hand? Oh, man, I got so many parents. Yeah, we had a lot first service. You can put your hands down. Like, think about your parenting. Y'all know how we do it. We got three kids, my wife and I. Y'all know how we do it. Like, as parents, we act like we know everything, but we're struggling, right? And we're second-guessing ourselves, and man, I should have been more firm there. Man, I shouldn't have been as firm there, right? Like, let's just be real, okay? Don't pretend like you're a perfect parent, okay? Like, we all got issues. Some of y'all's issues got issues, okay? So just hang with me here. But think about your parenting. Like, I don't know how you could parent properly without the help of the Holy Spirit. And probably the answer is you can't. Married people, like, how do you have a strong marriage without the help of the Holy Spirit? We are two imperfect people. Like coming together, the two becoming one. 1 + 1 = 1. Bad math, but great theology, right? Like, how could you do it without the help of the Holy Spirit? And the answer is probably you can't. And so again, if you're struggling in your parenting, if you're struggling in your marriage and your family and your job and your school, maybe, just maybe, it's because you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your life. God knows better than us. It's a trust issue, isn't it, really? Here's a third and last one. Number three is this. This is straight from Jesus. This is not Pastor Ryan's opinion. Here's what he said lastly, the three takeaways. He says, the Holy Spirit will convict. Convict. This is where it always gets quiet in the service, right? Like, oh, where is he going to go? Convict. This is verse 8. And really, here's what's been happening in this service. Let me kind of break it down in the supernatural. You know, we got what's happening in the natural. I've got the microphone. I'm loud. I talk fast, like I already said. And you're there sitting, listening to it. You're there watching, listening online. That's the natural. But did you know there's something happening right now and has been happening during this service in the supernatural? See, I'm a man just talking, trying to give my best as we look to the holy word of God, the perfect word of God. But how many of y'all know, like I'm not perfect, and I miss it, and I'll stumble on things at times. Why? Because I'm a human, just like you. But here's what happens in the supernatural, is that even when I screw it up, even when I mess up a word, y'all know, like, pastors, we have a disease, right? It's foot and mouth disease. Y'all know that, right? Like, trying to say stuff but saying it a different way, merging words together. I've said some weird stuff on accident being at this pastor thing for 10 years. It just happens, right, when you speak for a living. Just the reality of it. But here's what's so amazing is that even when I screw it up, the Holy Spirit is still working. I've prayed this many times. If this is not your first time, you probably heard me pray this at least once. Holy Spirit, speak because of me, but also in spite of me. And so today I have not been giving specific examples, especially with this number three, convict. I haven't talked about this sin or that sin or this thing or that thing, but yet the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you about it. I know it's not the Mother's Day message you expected. But the whole service, it's almost like he's been reaching in, right, and tugging at your heart. Not just the message, but the worship and announcements and special tribute and all that kind of, you've just been feeling it, right? Maybe even just first driving on the campus or first logging on, you sense it. Maybe you couldn't define it before now, but you sense it. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And here's what he does. He'll point out an area in your life of sin, like specific. He knows, which is scary, but he knows. And he'll point it out and he'll say, you need to stop doing that. You got to cut off that relationship. You got to stop looking at that on your phone. You got to be careful around that coworker. You should not go to that place anymore, right? Conviction of the Holy Spirit. For others, it's same thing, but other side of the coin. Here's what I mean by that. For others, you have not been obeying the last thing the Holy Spirit told you to do. So for some, you need to stop doing something. For others, you need to start doing what God already asked you to do. Here's what happens in church. And remember, I've been talking about weird people. Church people, we can be weird. Let's just be honest. We do some weird stuff. And church people, we're like, God, give me a new word. I want a fresh word today. And God's like, I already gave you a word a year ago and you still haven't obeyed it. I want that new word, right? I want that. God's like, just obey the last thing I told you to do. So for some of you who felt that whole service, I haven't said anything until now. But God's asked you to obey in an area and you've disobeyed. You've resisted the Holy Spirit. Or what happens if you do that long enough, you get a hardened heart before God. You become religious, and it's not about religion, it's about a relationship with the one true God. But here's what we tell ourselves. We tell ourselves that it's not God. We tell ourselves that the conviction is really condemnation. And there's a difference. So condemnation is kind of like guilt, right? Moms, you know, there's mom guilt where you feel guilty for stuff. Dads, we've got that too. And it's guilt, right? Can I teach you for a moment before we pray? Condemnation and guilt does not come from God. It comes from the devil, yourself, or others. And here's how you know. Condemnation or guilt, it drives you away from God. That's how you know. It makes you want to distance yourself from church, makes you want to distance yourself from others who follow Jesus, makes you want to distance yourself from God. That's condemnation and that's guilt. Conviction, completely different. Conviction comes from God, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And conviction doesn't drive you away from God, it draws you to God. Are you tracking with me? Condemnation and guilt pushes you away from God. Conviction, what many are sensing right now, draws you to God, to Himself. That you would surrender and say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need a breath of fresh air in my life. What I'm doing, it's like I'm trying to climb uphill with 1,000 pounds on my back. It ain't working. So why not let go of the chain? Why not allow the Holy Spirit to come breathe behind you? A blast of breath, fresh wind in yourself. Some of you are like, I need that so desperately. I couldn't label it until today. The reason why I'm struggling in this area is because I've been trying to fix it myself. I've been living a spirit-less life. And if that's you, I've got hope for you today. The Holy Spirit is here to meet you, to help you. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. You are so good. And I pray with every head bowed, every eye closed, please, in the room, online. God, I pray right now that God, if we weren't aware or for the service, or maybe if we've been resisting, for whatever reason, we got good reasons. That experience that was really bad, and it wasn't you, God, it was a person, a or our upbringing or the denomination that we attended as a child. We got our reasons. But I pray, God, today we give you a blank page, and through this series we give you a blank page, that we could care less about what a man or a woman or a religion has to say about you. But God, what do you have to say about yourself? What does your holy word teach us? We see in your holy word that you're our comforter, Holy Spirit. I know we got people underneath the sound of my voice. They're going through some stuff. Life is not easy. It's hard. And they can put on the fake smile. I've been there, trying to act like it's all okay, but on the inside, they're in so much pain. Holy Spirit, you're here to comfort. I pray for those that are facing a big decision, and they know, they can feel it's a big one. It's a destiny-altering decision with their business, with their marriage, with their family, with their parenting, with their relationship, with their school, with their career. Holy Spirit, you're here to guide them. If they'll just ask. To no longer be led by their flesh, like their human nature, what they feel is right, but to be led by your Holy Spirit. Because you know what's best. You see the end with the beginning and everything in between. I pray, God, for those that are, even now and throughout this service, they're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I pray. That they would no longer resist, but they would surrender. You're not mad at them. You're madly in love with them. You care. You want to help. You want to be a breath of fresh air. Gentle breeze, blast of breath, current of air. It's what you do, it's who you are. And I pray now, with every eye closed still, please, I pray that if you're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, there's an area of your life that's not in line with God and His Word. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus fully. Pray today would be your day of salvation, friend. I love this about special holidays. Just let me talk to your heart right now, just eyes closed. I love this about special holidays is that they're easy mile markers in our lives, like things we can look back on. And years from now, maybe even decades from now, you'll remember that Mother's Day 2021 was the day you surrendered fully to God, that you stopped trying to do it on your own, and you invited the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. There's nothing weird about it. It's so necessary. It's so helpful. So today could be your day, friend. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that's a place in the New Testament, the Holy Word of God. It says there how you commit your life, how you surrender your life to Jesus. Here's what it says, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it shows us, how do you make that confession? How do you make that commitment? How do you surrender? So you can do that right now in the room online. You can whisper to him and talk to him. He wants to be your best friend. So you can whisper to him this. I'll give you some words. I'll coach you up a little bit of what you can say. The important part is that you mean it with all your heart. Whisper this to Jesus. Jesus, I confess, I believe that you are God, that you're real. You're the one true God. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe 3 days later you rose from the dead so that I could live. So I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sin. So important that you ask him that. You can't get to heaven on your own. It's only because of Jesus and his sacrifice. Just whisper to him, please forgive me of my sins. Make me new. It's almost like I got a whiteboard in my heart and it's been so smeared and so smudged and so stained. And I just ask you to come in and clean me up. Wipe the slate clean in my heart. Make me new. Rescue me. And Holy Spirit, help me to live for you. If you ask him to help you, he will help you. He'll answer that prayer, yes, every single time. Holy Spirit, help me in my new commitment. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. And anytime I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit moving forward, may I always surrender, not resist. Thank you for your guidance and thank you for your help. Thank you for saving my soul. What an incredible day this is. In Jesus' mighty, matchless, powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.